Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't have 20/20 vision, even in hindsight, Pete Chwaba.
Hey everyone, it's producer Conrad here. Hope you're having a great Friday. Pete is on vacation, but he will be back Monday the 19th, and we have some great guests. But right now, I put together some of the greatest moments from Nightlight within the last couple months. Kicking it off, we have comedian Joby Sad. Hope you enjoy.
What are we doing here? Okay, so Joby Sad will be here in about 15 minutes, folks. He's a very funny comedian who's performing at the KI Convention Center right around the corner here this weekend here in Green Bay. He's a Nashville-based comic. He will be along shortly, and we will hear a little bit of his comedy before he gets here. Look, Conrad, do you have a policy like with friend requests? I don't take friend requests from anyone over 18. Do you think that's cool?
Wait, you don't take friend requests?
I don't take requests. I don't accept friend requests unless someone is 18. And I've told like mid-teens that, yeah. You know, it's mostly harmless Facebook, but I do post really obscene, dirty, swearing stuff sometimes. I don't want them to see that. I'm half kidding. But you know what I mean.
I really only accept it if like I know who you are.
Okay. And
we've at least like met a couple times and know each other.
Yeah.
Right, other than that, sense. I just like, if I don't know who you are, I'm not going to accept it.
Okay. Let me think about that, Blake. We'll figure something out. Maybe we could, I don't know what kind of podcast you have, but I would love to help you out, and you're a great kid. So let's talk about that. We can discuss that maybe sometime. And then on the text line, we've got, Shirley MacLaine. Okay, so Sherry from Horicon, our friend Sherry, says, Shirley MacLaine, great actor. She gets forgotten about, too. I don't know why people don't think of her. I mean, she hasn't worked in a long time. That's probably part of it. Out of sight, out of mind. But she's a great actor, too. We'll do actresses tomorrow night. But like I said, if you want to chime in with an actress tonight, that's totally fine. From the 608, it is pouring here in Madison. Troy. So, all right, Madison, Green Bay. I think it's raining pretty hard in Milwaukee, too. Maybe in the western part of the state it's better. I don't know. Conrad, did you hear about this escalator collapse at County Stadium, American Family Field over the weekend?
I did not hear about that.
So a bunch of fans, and I know this because I was listening to a Chicago sports radio station, and the hosts were at the Brewer game. And they said they were getting on the escalator and having back and forth with some Brewer fans. They had Cub stuff on, and he said it was like this friendly banter, and all of a sudden, the escalator like dropped like a foot or something like that. And all these people went tumbling down to the bottom of the escalator. And there was like literally a pile of people.
Wow.
And I don't recall hearing about that.
I can't believe I didn't hear about that.
Me either. And that's why I thought, well, I don't know. I just assume maybe you, maybe we'll ask Jimmy about it tomorrow night when he's here. So also, here's another actor. My wife just texted me, and she said her favorites are Meryl Streep and Leo DiCaprio. And after seeing Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I would agree. Leo DiCaprio is an excellent actor. So far, my favorites tonight. My favorite all time, Conrad, I'm with your dad, Paul Newman. But I would say, Next Generation, I'd go Leo DiCaprio. He has some unbelievable, just incredible moments on screen. He's a great actor.
I actually have what the Brewers statement, if you want me to read
it. Yeah, read it.
So it says, after the conclusion of today's game, an escalator at American Family Field, moving fans from the terrace to the lodge level, malfunction resulting in increased downward speed. 11 people were injured in the incident. 5 of them treated at the ballpark and 6 others transported to the area hospital with non-life threatening injuries. So
they could still be rich though.
So is it, so it just increased downward speed.
It was hard. When I was listening to the guys on the radio, it was hard to understand what exactly happened. I thought the steps like disappeared. It was just like a ramp and everybody just tumbled. But this guy was saying there was an older woman who was like 75 in front of him, and he saw her about to go down. He tried to hook her under the arms and hold on to her. Another guy, one of the radio hosts, said he thought about jumping up on the railing, but there's no other escalator on the other side. Apparently, you take a tumble.
Wow. Yeah.
So you kind of had to fall, and there were people picking bodies up, and yeah, it sounds like a mess.
Yeah. I can't believe I didn't hear about that until now, but.
Yeah. Well, maybe you were there and you got amnesia. Maybe you hit your head at the bottom of the escalator.
So that happened on
Sunday, maybe?
Sunday. Okay.
Yeah.
So we know Terry was okay because she was not there Friday.
That's right. And so was Mike Clemens.
Yeah.
Clemens could have been behind the whole thing. Sounds like something he'd do. A little tomfoolery. I kid. All right. So our next guest is Joby Sad. He's going to be here in a few minutes. Let's play some of Joby's comedy. This is from his Dry Bar comedy special. He's a Nashville-based comedian, and here are the comedy stylings of Joby Sad.
My name is Joby Sad. That's my real name. Sad is actually a Lebanese name. It means depressed. Anyway, but you guys are great looking crowd. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. Part of all these jokes about Southerners, you know, Southerners marrying their cousin. Ha 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 ha. I don't know about you guys, but I got some good-looking cousins. You know, I'd rather marry a good-looking cousin than an ugly out-of-towner. You know? I mean, why is that the worst thing you can do, you know? I mean, she's already been accepted by the family. But a lot of people make fun of other people based on what region of the country they're from, which is ridiculous, you know, because stupid people are everywhere. You know? You don't have to look any further than your own backyard. I was looking in my backyard for some stupid people and locked myself out. Had to go around the front and break in. All these cops showed up. Freeze! I live here. Why'd you break in? I was looking for some stupid people. You guys know, I love you guys. I came in here, I pushed on a door to come in. Somebody behind me goes, "You got a pull." You know, I hate it when people say that. "You got a pull." Oh, thanks. My second choice was going to be to lift up from the bottom. "You got a pull." Oh, I'm so glad you're here. I'd have been here all day just pushing and pushing. Oh, I was going to get you to help me push. Give me a hand. We all got to push as a team. "You got a pull." "Oh, tell me more, oh wise one. Where were you yesterday when I was stuck in a revolving door? I wish that got a pull lady was here. She'd know what to do."
That is so fun. You do feel stupid, and everybody does that. Like, and it's an easy mistake, especially if there's no sign, but you push. I do this coming out of a gas station sometimes. You just feel dumb. And it's nothing to do with intellect. I mean, it's just one of those things, right? That's so funny.
I had like this gas station when I lived in Milwaukee that I go to all the time. And I swear, I would do it every single time I was trying to go out of that gas station.
Every single time you push instead of pull?
I'd be like, almost every time. And the guy at the register kind of knew me. He'd be like, "We've been through this." I'm like, "I know."
Ah, oh, that's great. So it's Margot Robbie's birthday today, 34, which reminds me, we were working on a Monopoly trailer we need to get back to, Conrad.
Oh, that's right.
You still have the files, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We'll get to that. Maybe we can bang some of that out tomorrow. We also had one more airplane clip I want to play. This is, is this one titled?
It's Roger.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So the pilot's name, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the co-pilot. His name is Roger. One of the other, the navigator's name is Victor. And I think the captain's name is Captain Over. So here's the classic iconic scene from Airplane in the cockpit.
09er, you are cleared for takeoff.
Roger.
Huh?
LA departure frequency 123.9er.
Roger.
Huh?
Request Vector. Over.
What?
Flight 209er clear for Vector 324.
We have clearance, Clarence.
Roger, Roger. What's our Vector, Victor?
Howard radio clearance, over.
That's Clarence, over.
Over. Roger.
Huh?
Roger, over.
What?
Who?
The pilot's name is Clarence, over. That's good stuff. This is UFO Day. Do you know why that is, Conrad?
Why is it?
Roswell happened today. That thing went down in Roswell, like in the 40s or the 50s. It got everybody talking, and the government said it was a weather balloon. People don't want to hear that, though. They want there to be aliens. So that's why today's UFO. It's also Report Military Fraud Day. So you're always coming in here every night, Conrad, talking about your heroism in Iraq, and I've had about enough of it. I am going to report you. I'm going to call the police. The GBPD are going to be here walking around telling everybody you pulled me out of a foxhole and saved my life. I guess that's what it is, right? Report Military Fraud Day. Is that a big problem? Are there people going around pretending they were in the military?
You know, when I worked at Chef's, I'd always have people asking for the military discount, and I always have to make sure.
Oh.
So.
I mean, I could see trying to impress a girl. That'd be a good excuse to say you're in the military. All right, Joby Sad is here next. The very funny Nashville-based comedian will join us next on Nightlight. This is Pete Schwabba and the Civic Media Radio Network. They got you down on your knees. So polite, we're busy still saying please. Friend of me, but when you're down, ain't your friend. Every night, I smash a Mercedes-Benz. First we run, and then we laugh till we cry. But when the night is falling, you cannot find the light. Light, you feel your dreams are dying. Hold tight, you got the music in you. Don't let go, you got the music in you. One dance left, the swell is gonna pull through. Don't give up, you got a reason to live.
You seen her dressed in blue.
So Jim from Appleton says, Peter Sellers. How could I have forgotten about Peter Sellers? Yeah, he might be the greatest actor of all time. I mean, it's all subjective, but like a lot of people, let me say it that way. A lot of people would say Peter Sellers is the greatest actor of all time. I'm still rolling with Paul Newman and Leo DiCaprio as a younger version. But Paul Newman would be my all-time favorite. And then Sherry from the 920. Sherry from Horicon says actor Anthony Hopkins. You'd probably get a lot of people voting for Anthony Hopkins, too. These are all great choices. If you want to get in on the fun still, let us know who you think is the greatest actor of all time. And the number to text. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Conrad, I will expect an answer from you at some point tonight. You can't dodge this all night.
I mean,
take your time. Think it over. Don't rush. It's very important. Well, a lot of weight.
I will get you an answer.
There's a lot riding on this. All right. We're going to move on here and talk a little comedy with a guy who I found interesting. I knew his name. He knew my face. Together, that makes us friends, I think. But he is a longtime comedian, very funny guy. He's had comedy specials. He's been on TV a ton. We know him as Joby Sad, and I'm very excited to have him on the show because he's coming to Green Bay this weekend, and he joins us now on the stream. Joby, how are you?
Pete Schwabba.
That's me.
I'm so honored to be here. Is this working? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, it's
we didn't really do it. We didn't do an audio test before the big interview.
You know what? I just realized, Conrad, we have never done an audio test. And there's been a couple times where we've had to call people back, but you sound fine. You look good. You sound good.
Good.
Yeah. I'm glad we can see each other. It's because now I know your face and you know my name, however that was.
No, I know your face. I know your name, Pete.
Likewise.
We met years ago in Chicago. You said at the Funny Firm.
Funny Firm. That's right. And you used to do a joke where you had like a double jointed neck and you could stick your neck out really far.
I still can. I think so.
You did it like at the Funny Firm. I was like, holy smokes, that's freestanding. I love it.
Does it still work?
It still works. You still got all your dexterity.
Well, I don't know. Some lady came up to me after my show one night. She told me that I was hypermobile. And I said, well, what does that mean? She goes, well, it's a joint. It's a disease of the joints that causes your ligaments and tendons to be abnormally flexible.
That's a really odd thing to say to someone.
That's what I thought. I'm like, well, I mean, is it good? She goes, well, I don't know. She goes, can you bend your finger all the way back? And I go, oh, you mean like this?
Oh.
She goes, yeah, you're hypermobile. Oh, no kidding. So, well, what does it mean? She goes, oh, you have nothing to worry about. You'll be fine, you know, when you're younger. It'll probably cause you problems when you get old.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm like, oh, well, that's cheerful.
Well, so is this like a woman you met in the checkout line, or was this a doctor's appointment? Or what's is there any validity?
Actually, it was a lady that came up to me after my show at the comedy. The Comedy Cottage in Maryville, Indiana. You remember that place?
Sure, absolutely.
Did you? You really?
I worked there. Yeah, I worked there, and then I loved it. Yeah, I mean, I didn't love it, but it was like the Holiday Star Theater was there too.
Yeah,
and you go over and see the Temptations or something after your show. It was really fun. Yeah.
That was big time. I played I headlined the first gig headlining.
Really?
The Comedy Cottage. Yeah, for my first ever headlining gig. And I had to follow Anthony Griffith.
Oh, yeah.
Remember him?
I do. You know, yeah, he's a friend of mine. Anthony?
Is he?
Yeah, he was middling the Comedy Cottage in Merrillville?
No, I think he came in and do a guest set or something. Just to make my life hell.
Yeah,
And they're like, you don't mind, do you? I'm like, no, it's great having just put as many people on stage as you possibly could think of. You know,
Steve Martin and Eddie Murphy just stopped by. Do you mind if we put them on right in front of you? You're okay with that, right, Joe?
Right. No, it's great. No, I love to give opportunities to everybody. And he goes up and just destroys, you know. Oh, and so I was like, well, that's it. I mean, I didn't know if I could pull it off to begin with, and now you do this to me, you know. And so I mean, I had a great show, and it was a great experience. But the truth is, it was Anthony that made it such a special night, you know, because I felt like, you know, I delivered better than I normally do, and he was phenomenal. He was fantastic, really funny, and he just killed. And
yeah,
it was just a great time, you know, great time in comedy.
So are you saying like he just made you raise your game a little bit and did fine?
I'd like to think so.
Okay, good. Know?
Yeah.
No, that was always the biggest fear is like, I remember when I started headlining and friends of mine, I remember Jimmy Pardo once, who was a good friend of mine, said, or he was standing there when someone said, you headline, right? And I said, well, I go last. We were, you know, during the boom, guys were headlining, or at least in my case, before they should have been headlining. But there was so much work, they needed people.
Well, yeah, that's true. Although I didn't get caught in the guys that are headlining before they should period.
Okay.
I got caught in the how come they won't let me headline yet period. Really?
That makes you earn it more, right?
Well, I got trapped in that phase. When was that? I guess that would have been in the early 90s.
Yeah.
I started headlining, you know, with regularity, I guess in 95, 90. My big show in at the Comedy Cottage was, I don't know, probably could have been 92, 93.
Okay.
But But yeah, I started, I slowly started headlining, but the big clubs like Zanies, you know,
yeah,
that, you know, it's so funny. I was, because you mentioned the Funny Firm, and I remember when I played there years ago, I didn't want anybody to know that I was there because Zanies is where I started. And I was afraid if they found out that I played the Funny Firm in Chicago, I would be kicked out of the club.
Yeah.
You know, because it was, you know, back then you couldn't play both, you know?
Yeah. And there was I kind of started at Zanies, at least in terms of the big clubs I worked in Chicago, because I was based out of Chicago, and it was, they kind of put a little bit of fear into you, but there was so much work and so many clubs paying so well at one point, you know, you could leave Chicago. You could not leave Chicago all year and middle and do really well, be the feature act and do really well. So it was, I think comics were in a tough situation, you know, what are you supposed to do? Turn down work?
Yeah. Remember Jay Burke?
Yeah.
Did you work for him?
I did. That's kind of where I started, the Comedy Cottage in Rosemont by the airport.
Yeah.
And then around the corner was Jay's place, which used to be the Comedy Cottage. The two owners had a falling out. One got the building and one got the name. It was a mess, as I understand it, but that was before my time.
I tell you, I had one of the best times of my life playing one of Jay's clubs.
Oh.
And I don't remember the name of the city. It was outside of Chicago. It was a little bit of a drive outside. And so I did three shows in one night.
Oh, wow.
And the beauty of it was, the club, things were going so well. And I just thought this was the future to come. But so it was really remarkable. So I got to headline, and so that was a big deal to me.
Hey, Joby, hold that thought for 1 second, all right? We got to do something. We're going to do a few minutes of news. We'll come back and we'll pick it up there. Joby Sad is here, and Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. My guest is Joby Sad. He's a comedian, nationally touring, and had his own specials, all kinds of fun stuff, had a great career, still going strong, obviously, and he is here tonight, and he's in Green Bay this weekend. So let's talk about that, Joby, but finish your story about Jay.
It's not important. You don't even care. It's just my life. You know, it's just the highlight of my entire life, and you just cut me off. I don't know. It's just, you're just like my mom. You know, I try to tell my mom something important, and she'll like, excuse me 1 second, I think my cat needs me. You know, I don't know. It's not, I don't know. I get it. It's not important. It's fine.
I actually
open up and share. I forgot we're on the radio.
I almost said to you, hold that thought, Joby. The quiche might be done.
That would have been good. No, well, yeah, we got a big show. I'm glad you mentioned it. Thank you, Pete.
Yeah.
We're a big show at the KI Convention Center.
That's so, literally right around the corner.
That's fantastic. Do you know what the KI stands for?
I don't. Conrad, do we know what that stands for? It's the Hyatt, right? It's at the Hyatt.
At the Hyatt?
Yeah, there's a Hyatt and a Hampton, and then there's a big convention center.
Yeah. I don't know. I know it's huge. I've never been there before. I don't know. I think it's like 10,000, 20,000 seats. What is it?
That sounds about right. Bigger rooms than I ever worked. But are you on the show? Are you on the show with someone?
Well, I don't like to talk about it. Yes, I am. I am working with Lady Lunchable.
Oh, dear.
So, a fantastic comedian.
Okay.
And I have not, technically, I have not met her, but I'm going to. Yeah. And also Chris Weinland, who's a highly accomplished comedian, and I've met him. And so, you know, great guy. He does a lot of clean comedy, does a lot of Christian comedy. And okay. So it's going to be a clean comedy. They're calling it a clean comedy edition. So all right. I think there's another show that's not clean.
The dirty comic, the blue show, possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, could be. I don't know.
Are you?
You know, it's so crazy. You messaged me after you told me you saw that video that I made with myself and the blimp.
Yes.
You know, it's the craziest thing. When I was doing that, you know, I thought it was the Goodyear blimp.
Right.
And so I don't think you could see it in the video, but I turned around to comment on it, and I was promoting the clean comedy show, and the blimp was an advertisement for a popular sporting goods company here, that's a nationally known sporting goods company, and it just had the giant name of the company, and I don't want to say what the name of it is because it could be construed as dirty.
Oh, wow. So you're like, you're clean even in real life.
Absolutely. But it's like, it said blank sporting goods. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I do. Yes. 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 And
so what is the chances?
Yeah.
What is the chances that while I'm promoting clean comedy show, a blimp with big word letters, five letters, you know, spelling out a man's anatomy, in graphic terms.
They could have said like Richard's Sporting Goods. That would have gotten the job done, I think.
Why didn't they? I don't understand. Why didn't they?
It seems like they like that people might have an issue saying that, or they don't want kids to Google it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It seems a little off-putting.
Well, it certainly was.
But I applaud anyway, you for not getting sucked into the gutter there.
Thank you very much. Well, I mean, it got me on the Pete Schwabba show, so that's pretty big.
And I thought, wait, at one point, were you saying like my ride is almost here or something? I thought the blimp was coming in.
I was just making a joke that I was taking the blimp ride, you know, as my ride. And, we're only one step away from that. I mean, they got an app for everything now. They got an Uber app, and now they got the Bird app. And so why wouldn't they offer apps for blimp rides? Seriously, why wouldn't they?
I got to get to Green Bay, and I got to get there by this weekend, and I want to go by blimp.
Yeah, Seems pretty simple. I'm sure there's a lot of people, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, it just seems a little crazy. They did have the one mishap with the blimp long time ago.
That's a big one. Yeah.
But that, you know, people forgot about that. That was a long time ago. Nobody talks about it anymore. So I'm sure blimps will make a comeback.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And I think they say it's safer to travel by blimp than like scooter copter or something. There's some sort of statistic.
There's much fewer reported fatalities on
the
blimps.
The problem
than
is
any other form of travel.
Joby, I think the problem with the blimp is it's this humongous thing, and it looks like you can fit like seven people in. I don't think they really thought that through.
I don't know,
because they don't travel in the big air part of it. They're all just in a little compartment. That therein lies the logistical issues, I think.
Well, I don't know. I tell you the truth. I've never really been on one, but you know, I've seen pictures and they look very luxurious. Yeah, if you look at the old ones in 1939, it's like really first rate travel.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they've got obviously they have a few technical issues to figure out,
sure,
but it didn't stop Elon Musk from testing out his,
oh, okay,
you know, his gas filled, whatever you want to call it, canister. Right.
Right.
So let's
talk clean comedy.
Okay.
So are you, I know you did a dry bar special. Congratulations. That's a really cool thing.
Did you see it?
I did. We pulled a couple clips and we played them before. That's kind of why I wanted to push you to 820. I wanted to play a couple of your clips beforehand to sort of tease your visit, as we say.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, it was a big deal. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I had such a great time. Yeah, I mean, I love Dry Bar and I love, Provo, Utah. And I'm a big fan of the Osmonds, of course.
Yeah.
And so I asked everybody if anybody, you know, had a hookup or knew any of the Osmonds that live around town and stuff. And they were, they thought I was kidding.
Not very helpful, huh?
No, not at all. They didn't seem the least bit interested.
Do they still live there? Do you think all of the Osmonds?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's like the headquarters. It's like the Mormon headquarters. And
right.
And I always loved Mormon people and Mormon culture. And, you know, I'm not Mormon.
Yeah.
But I like them, you know.
Yeah, I've had several. When I lived in L.A., there were a lot of Mormon people there. More than I thought, to be honest, because they're all in Utah and it's so clean and wholesome there. I was surprised to see. But they're sort of the more New Age Mormon, you know. They're not as quite as strict.
I love doing clean shows. I love when Mormons come. You know, I tell you the truth, my favorite is the Quakers, the Amish. I love the Amish. You know,
do a lot of Amish comedy shows.
Well, I've done a few. I've actually done. I mean, for like 10 years, almost for 10 years, I traveled, toured around doing almost exclusively churches. So I would do Christian churches. Yeah, Christian churches and events. Yeah, I was featured on Thou Shalt Laugh, which is the highest selling Christian comedy concert. And
Conrad, DVD. Please Google all of this. It's too dry and funny. True, that could be a thing. I don't know. Is that really a thing?
It is. It's a thing. You know, I mean, I'll tell you the truth. I mean, I love it. You know, I love when the Amish come. And, you know, it's like I had this beautiful Amish girl came to my show once and she smiled at me, which is like getting a flash
from an Amish girl,
from Amish, you know, because, you know, they don't typically smile. Wow. So if an Amish girl looks at you and smiles, that's like a big deal.
That sounds like a really fun crowd at a comedy club. People that don't laugh.
Well, yeah, absolutely. For me. And I wanted to, you know, my plan in life was to, I was trying to get my girlfriend to dress up like an Amish girl. And I thought it would be fun for us to, you know, go around town and make out, you know.
And just have her drop F-bombs all over town.
Well, no, it just seemed like it would be an exciting thing to do, you know. But anyway, she broke up with me. So
anyway, that seems kind of extreme. But
I don't know. It's difficult. It's getting harder and harder, Pete. You know, it's like I try to do comedy and then it goes dark all of a sudden.
You know, I yeah, it did happen to me on stage.
That happened to you?
On stage frequently it happened. Do you when I met you back in the early to mid 90s, were you even clean then? Were you like always clean?
Well, yeah, I was always pretty clean. Okay. I was always one of the cleaner comedians, and the truth of the matter is I remember, you know, I was pushing to be a headliner and I wanted to headline, and I spiced my show up a little bit with explanatives to get the big laughs, you know? And I added a little bit of that. And, you know, I used the S word and the Q word and the L word, and sometimes the T word. And,
Conrad, and so Google it got, those.
Yeah, it got, it would get a huge laugh, you know, and it seemed, it just, you know, I mean, my personal philosophy is, you know, there's no reason to do any dirty comedy. Dirty comedy is for amateurs.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I feel like it doesn't bother me when comedians swear, but only if they're funny before they swear. I have to know they're funny. And then if you want,
professional comic doesn't need it. I think when I met you, I was working with Richard Jenny.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do. He and I actually became friends. And
wow, really?
Yeah, and he was great. He helped me get on Caroline's Comedy Hour and was really nice to me whenever I would go to LA. He was just Yeah, he was a great resource, and I liked him, and I thought he was a phenomenal comedian.
Oh my, yeah, he was just so unbelievable, and that's what I think of when I think of the Funny Firm. I remember him being. I remember watching him just destroy, like nobody I've ever seen before, and I got to hang out with him a little bit. You may have been there with me with Richard Jenny, but my apologies, but I was just so transfixed on Richard Jenny at the time.
Yeah. He's a great guy for young comedians to watch. My guest is Joe Bissad. He's a comedian. He'll be performing this Friday night, July 5th at the KI Center here in Green Bay. If you're in the area, definitely check out the show. Sounds like there's plenty of seats, 10,000 seats, I think you said. So that's encouraging.
I don't know how many seats are available yet. I mean, I know they've sold a bunch.
All right. Well, that's
anyway,
fantastic.
We're going to be celebrating, you know, the holidays, and so they don't call it July 4th. and we're not calling it Juneteenth. And so I don't know. To me, it's like I'm not celebrating either one, to tell you the truth. Until all men that live with a woman that has a cat can gain their freedom, and nobody's free, is how I feel.
Do you
live with a woman that has a cat?
I'm allergic to cats, so I have an easy out there. Yeah. And you still, wow, that's gutsy.
What's that?
That you date a woman with a cat. You have cat.
Oh, wait, we're not dating. It's my mother, you know, so
okay.
I have even fewer options in life.
Oh man. It sounds like things are a little rough. I'm glad this Green Bay gig came along when it did, Joby, because I don't know what would happen to you, but let's get back to Jenny, because I heard, you know, just talking comedy, this was great. At his memorial at the Laugh Factory in LA, Rich Scheidner, who's been on the show, another great comic, said,
really, you know everybody.
Well, I don't know about that, but he said when he described Richard Jenny's comedy, he said everybody can go up and make a joke on a topic. But when Richard Jenny was done with a topic, it was just a bone. It was just a carcass. Like, he got so much mileage. Hey, can you hang out for a couple more minutes?
I'm very busy, sure.
All right, sounds good. We'll have a few more minutes with Joby Sad here. He'll help us close up shop here on Nightlight tonight. I'm Pete Schwab. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Great to have you with me. So KI, the KI in the KI Convention Center here in Green Bay stands for Kruger International, or Krieger. Conrad, if you want to correct me.
I think it's Krieger.
It could be Krieger. It's a manufacturer. KI develops innovative solutions for education, healthcare, corporate, and government customers from 7 manufacturing plants across the continent. KI is employee-owned with approximately 2,000 employees. 2,001 this weekend, buddy, because Joby Sad's going to be performing there.
That's right. Yeah. So it's there. So it's a healthcare company.
Yeah. I'm not saying they're going to put you on the policy, but it's a lot of different stuff. Mm. They have innovative solutions. This sounds made up, I have to be honest. Innovative solutions for education, healthcare, corporate, and government customers.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Sounds a lot like Nashville, where I'm from.
Yeah.
Healthcare rules the city.
I thought country music ruled the city. I didn't know that about healthcare.
Mostly healthcare.
Oh.
That's why they, people, anyway.
So if they want to get into the healthcare game, that's the place to go.
Well, yeah. I mean, or if you want to get into the music business, you might, a lot of them, you might want to start off in healthcare.
Is Nashville a good town to be based in for comedy, for stand-up?
Well, actually, yeah. I mean, it's crazy. It's booming. I mean, the comedy scene is really hot here in Nashville, and I was never really entrenched. I mean, I headlined quite a bit. I worked here a lot when I was younger, and now I'm predominantly just tour around the country and I do corporate events.
Okay.
But yeah, it's really become hot. And God, I was standing in line at a barbecue restaurant, not too long ago. And I overheard these two young kids talking. One of them had just graduated from Harvard and couldn't wait to move to Nashville. And the other one graduated from Yale and couldn't wait to move to Nashville. And so that is what's changed.
Wow.
There was no such thing 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know,
I've heard everybody that's there, and this is probably a stereotype, has their guitar on their back and they show up there and they're all musicians. Like, it's a great place to break in if you're great, but it's crazy competitive from a musician standpoint?
You know, yeah, I mean, it's crazy competitive, but it's also a buddy network, just like every place else. And, you know, after living in Los Angeles, I lived out in LA for 10 years and I go back and forth all the time, and finding it to be such a closed door. You know, the truth is, you know, when I growing up here in Nashville, I mean, I had all the opportunities in the world. I mean, you know, my dad worked for WSM, my mother worked for Opryland. So I used to do the Ralph Emery show all the time, TNN, and I was connected with all that stuff, but at the time it didn't matter to me. You know, they booked me on TV with Loretta Lynn, and I was like, okay, yeah, that's fine. Sure. And you know, Loretta Lynn is like one of the greatest country music singers of all time. But you know, I'm ashamed of myself really, because I didn't appreciate it when I had it.
Oh, that's pretty typical. I think. Don't beat yourself up for that, buddy. Come on.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Right? I mean, if I had a nickel for every...
But you did it too. You know, you moved to LA too, didn't you?
I did, yeah. And I was there for 14 years. I enjoyed it a lot. We had a great neighborhood, good schools for the kids, you know, and I enjoyed my time out there. And I did that too, where you commute back and forth. But the problem is when you're commuting from the Midwest, like I didn't really announce that I had left. I didn't want to make a big deal about it. Nobody cared really anyway. So I would get there and I would try to set up meetings and people go, hey, can we push this till next week? And I'd be like, okay, it's going to be $1,500 to change my airline ticket. But it's tough to do that. It's the commuting thing is tough, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know. It also kind of worked for me in other ways. Like I'm only going to be in town for the next 3 days. And, you know, I'm hoping we can set up a meeting while I'm in town. Oh, there you
go. Okay.
Oh, well, sure. Oh, okay. So, you know, it could also work for you. But
yeah,
I feel like. But anyway, are you going to come to the show?
I probably not. I've got a ton of family in town and I live about an hour away. I don't live in Green Bay.
Bring the whole family. Bring them in. Anyway, if you want to come, I'll hook you up.
It's too dirty. The show is too dirty. I am not bringing my parents to this crap.
Well, listen, if you got a lot of family in town, you can invite the ones that you don't want to be with.
That's true. That's true. I could do that.
Keep it in mind.
Let me ask you this. Do you have a moment, Joby, in your life where you decided, I can do this? I want to be a comedian, and I think I can do this. And what was that moment for you?
Well, sure. I mean, first off, I always wanted to do comedy. I always wanted to do stand-up. And I had developed a pretty a harsh attitude about stand-up when I was like 11, you know? So I used to watch all the comedians on TV, and I used to watch The Dinah Shore. And, and I remember... When I was real young, I didn't like Jay Leno because his comedy was just too, I just didn't relate to it, you know?
Interesting.
And I love Jim Stafford. I thought he was the funniest, you know? And I love the Smothers Brothers. I used to, I used to stay up late to watch the Smothers Brothers Hour, you know? And you know, I did other things. I was doing magic shows when I was 12. Huh. And I remember one show in particular, I got laughs. And so that was a big turning moment. That was a big pivotal moment. And then I did stand up when I was about 22 years old.
Okay.
I was planning and I wanted to do it for over a year. And I would go down to Zany's in Nashville almost every night. And so Tuesday night was the night you could do the open mic. And so I was there every Tuesday for a year. And I was thinking, okay, tonight's the night. And I was too scared.
Oh,
I didn't
man.
Do it. And so then after the year was up, I joined a comedy writing class and course, and our graduation ceremony was, you know, to go on stage and perform. And Jim Varney was the headliner.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And so I got to meet him. And so that was my first time doing stand up on stage at Zany's. And I knew from that moment on, that was it. This is me.
That's a great answer. Dude, it's worked out for you. And you're playing Green Bay. So it obviously worked out for you. And I'm thrilled that we we're able to line this up. I love that you came on the show.
Thank you very much, Pete. I hope to see you again very soon.
Well, let's do it again soon. You're hilarious, and break a leg this weekend.
Thanks, Joby. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
God bless you. Take care.
You too. That's Joby Sad. Check him out. Conrad, quickly, favorite actor?
Comedy, Kevin James.
Okay. We'll accept that. I'm glad you didn't say Adam Sandler. Nightlight here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to drive them home. When you're feeling blue.